Hi, I'm Donna W., compulsive eater. And thank you for including me in your meeting today. I'm really grateful for my abstinence and my recovery. And I was thinking about what did I want to talk through. And I appreciate we're in step three. Made a decision to turn our lives and our will over to the care of our higher power. And I thought, maybe I'll talk about how I've done that. I've been in program coming up to 22 years. Want to just kind of share how I am trudging the road of happy destiny, and what I've learned along this journey. Let's just start at the beginning. Let's see. I'll start with kind of. I was thinking about this. I come from a long line of compulsive eaters. And I have three sisters, and all with food issues. Two of them are morbidly obese. The other is a hardcore sugar addict, and we all with health issues as a result of this disease. And I was thinking, I was just out for a walk, and was thinking about this, how my aunts and uncles were overweight, and it was everything we did as a family was about the food. It was all about the food, one of my sisters, my older sister, I was just had a chat with her, and every time I call her, she's eating on the phone. It's like no matter what time it is, she is eating while we're talking. So I just want to say I'm so grateful that that I get to have a life in between my meals today. Thank you. Thanks to program and higher power. So I come from a long line of compulsive eaters, and when I was a kid. Like I was very sedentary, and kind of what I would do was I would eat, read, and sometimes watch TV all at the same time. But like it was eating and reading. I love that. And I actually stayed up too late reading last night. I'm also a compulsive overreader. There's something about just like that zoning out and like hand to mouth, and growing up, I would often read while I walked to school. I would come home from school and eat and read and watch TV. And it was like just kind of like just shutting out the world, And I was an overweight kid, and I remember all the kids in the neighborhood would be like running up and down the street, playing and climbing trees. And I would go home and eat and read and watch TV. And then at dinner time, I wasn't hungry, but you had to sit down and eat dinner, right? So, but there's that shame of like, oh, I'm not hungry and it's dinner time. So that was my childhood. I was called names because I was overweight. So lo lots of self pity, self shame around being overweight. And then as I got older, I got more active. So I guess I wasn't as overweight. Well, up and down as I got older. But when I came into program the year before I came into program, my top weight was 194. So I was kind of gradually putting on the weight. I came into program in 2002. I was seeing a therapist, and I thought, well, if I could just figure myself out, maybe I'll stop eating. When I came into OA, I was coming home from work and eating a whole big bag of tortilla chips after work, and then feeling like crap. I had an important job, I thought at the time, and but I couldn't even button the pants. I had to wear suits to work, and I couldn't even button my pants. I was starting to just gaining weight. My top weight was 194. I was like, how did that happen? Like me, almost 200 pounds? Like, how did that happen? And my therapist, who happened to be in OA as well, recommended I go to OA. And I was like, what? A 12-step program? Me? Like, I've got it together. I just need to lose weight. So I went to some meetings, but I didn't really get involved. I didn't get a sponsor. I kind of come late, leave early. Didn't work the steps. And then kept gaining weight and thought, well, this obviously doesn't work. So then I left, and maybe like a year later, I was I found myself compulsively eating, and I was like, oh, it was like the penny dropped. It was very visceral. Oh, I'm a compulsive eater. I wasn't hungry, and I was just eating, And I realized that, oh, I'm a compulsive eater. So that was a Saturday or Sunday. The Tuesday, I went to a local meeting and in Palo Alto, and that was my whole meeting. Like, that was it. I was home. And so I worked the program. Some things I've learned, and I've worked the steps many times. I've several sponsors helped me with through the steps. And because I like to keep learning, and life is always hard and challenging. There's always new things to deal with. So some of the things I've learned along the way was when I first joined program, I thought, well, you guys might have to do this food plan thing, or you might have to do this thing or that thing. But I'm special. I'm different. I have to eat every few hours. I can't, I have to, you know, I always thought I was special and a special snowflake. And a big thing for me working the program was, and you know, I was like kind of skeptical. Was this program thing work? You know, what is this all about? And there was a point where I was like, Donna, you know, this AA thing has helped probably millions of people around the world. Just shut up and do it, and just shut up and follow direction. So by being one of many, that was probably one of my first lessons. Like, just dive in, join the pack, and so that was probably the first thing, was to just kind of have that humility to not be so special that I was a piece of junk, and so special that I needed to do it differently. And then I did start to lose weight once I got a good food plan, and also starting to exercise more. I actually started losing weight before I came into OA because I was working out. But my weight release was very slow, and that really pissed me off because I just wanted to on my weight so that I could live happily ever after. But the weight release was very slow, and I wanted it to be different. But in the end, I was grateful that my weight release was slow because it helped me to kind of get used to who I am in this new body, having been overweight most of my life. And I know people who lost their weight very quickly, and their you know, body, their mind and spirit didn't catch up with them, and they it was very stressful. So in the end, I was grateful that things went slowly. Maybe God had a plan there. But when I hit my goal weight, so my goal weight for half of my life was to weigh 140 pounds, and now I weigh less than that. So I weigh around 125 now. Let me just put do not disturb on my computer here. When I hit my goal weight, I just thought I was going to live happily ever after. I was like really, really angry and stressed because I was still me. I still had my challenges. I still craved food. I still, you know, had feelings. And I was under the delusion that my life was going to just get better when I was in a healthy body weight, when I was a normal size. And that delusion still lingers. It's really hardwired. I still think if I could just lose 5 pounds, like everything would be better. And when I gain weight, even a few pounds, I still think like all my problems are related to that weight. So that is really hardwired in me. And thank God I was in program, and I just kept working. I just kept coming and working my program. I realized, you know, I started doing a Vision for You meetings, which are about the big book. It's a big book study. And doing those meetings, I've been doing that for, I don't know, 9 or 10 years now. But it slowly started to realize, like, wow, the point of program is not to just lose weight and be slim, because I was kind of working my program to be thin. And let me just tell you, after being overweight and identifying as a fat person most of my life, to be in a normal body weight, I mean, I just want to say that was that's freaking awesome. Like, suddenly I'd go clothes shopping, and I would buy everything that fit me because that was my strategy. If something fit, I should buy it, right? But now everything fit me. So I was like kind of going crazy shopping. It just was so nice to finally, you know, feel good in that. But also, I probably was using my weight as I was reliant, you know, I was reliant on my weight my whole life. But then I was like, oh, that was like the fix, was to be thin. But slowly I started to realize, oh, the point of program, and it says in the big book, is, you know, the thesis of the big book is to help find a power greater than myself that can solve the problem. And what is the problem? The problem is that I'm an overeater, but it's also that I can't manage my life, you know? So step one says I'm powerless over food. It also says my life says is unmanageable. But by step six, we start working on our character defects. And you know, that's saying, hey, like my whole life is unmanageable and I really need a higher power for everything. So you know, when I was first in program and meetings I went to, they were, and you know, I'm going to say things you guys may not agree with. So please take what you like and leave the rest. But I would go to meetings and it was all about step three. Like, okay, all I had to do, like step three was like the crux. Like I had to believe in a higher power, and then I should be recovered. I actually went to a meeting where they had these step ups when you hit step three, and I just felt, God, like why can't I fully believe in a higher power? But I've come to learn through being in program 22 years that step three is only a decision. And so there's a joke you may have heard where it says there's three frogs on a log. One of them decides to jump off the log. How many frogs are on the log? There are three because one of them decided, but he didn't take any action. So in step three, I decide, and then all that means is I am taking the action steps, which are four, five, six, seven, eight, and nine. And so I got to work those steps. That's all step three is doing. And that I may have some belief in a higher power in step one, two, and three, but steps, you know, the rest of the steps are what helps me have a faith in a higher power. And faith is what is going to carry me through good times and bad. So I also learned that, you know, I might believe that there's a car mechanic down the road who has helped Lucy. Maybe Lucy's been to the car mechanic and this, and I can believe that that's a good car mechanic, but I'm not going to have faith until I've had direct experience of that car mechanic. So it's about that the rest of the steps are what bring us faith so that we can work this program in all of our affairs, which is step 12. So first, I think I was working program kind of as a debt to keep a death grip on my weight. And I was pretty weight focused. But I am leaning more and more into it's all about higher power. That's what it's about. I went to one of the OA, actually the first OA birthday party I went to, which was several years ago. I went to a long-timer panel and most people talked about higher power there. They didn't really work. They didn't go to that many meetings. They didn't do all that. They were really about meditating and reading the big book and having a conscious contact with their higher power. And in my early days of program, I was doing program. I was, you got to get to this many meetings a week. You got to call this many people a day. Here's the tool. I got to do all the tools. And so in some regards, I'm not working as robust a program, but I am doing my best to really be in conscious contact with my higher power, because that is what it's all about. And as a result, I am now living a life beyond my wildest dreams. I'm very happily married. We don't have kids, but I have a very full life. And you know, the thing about I've become a very active, physically active person. I have my own business. I'm an author. And I could, I mean, it's just amazing. I get to show up and do all this. I get to, you know, feel all the feels, good and bad these days. And then sometimes then I have this full life and it's like, who's got time to work program, right? But I have this life because I'm sober and I get to show up. And in my business, I'm a consultant. You know, I've learned that I get to be of service. And that's kind of what it's about. I'm being of service to companies and people. And last year was a very quiet year for my business. And I barely made any money. And I just thought, well, just keep being of service. You know, that's I can do that. And now like things are like things that didn't have any nobody responded to last year. Suddenly everyone's coming back and business is busy this year because I planted all these seeds last year. You know, that's what I want to do is I want to show up and be of service. I want to say also that I was doing program and I also 4 years ago, over 4 years ago now, I got long COVID. So right at the very beginning, which completely upended my world. I had some very challenging and enduring health issues that are still persistent. And I really had to learn. I can't, I got to find a way to work program no matter what, So I'm here. The theme for today is trudging the road of happy destiny. And like trudging means plodding. It's a long road. It can be a difficult road. It's just slogging, it's plodding, trudging. And that's what I do. I just trudge, do my program stuff every day, make calls, go to meetings.
5 minutes left, just so you know.
Thank you.
About five, yeah.
I don't try to do it all the time. I've had to really learn like what I can do, what I can't do now. That's been a big thing for me since I've had the long COVID. And so I'm, I guess a big thing is I'm learning just to be gentle with myself. That was never how I would have described my relationship with myself, because I can't do it all, and that means program too. And when I was first in program, I would beat myself up because I didn't do this, I didn't get to the meeting, I didn't go to a call. And I was talking with a sponsee this week who has some of those similar patterns, and using program to beat myself up and to have more shame and blame, like I had plenty of that in my whole life. That's not what my higher power wants for me. My goal is to be happy, joyous, and free. And program gives me the tools to do that. So it's all about just keep sticking around, plod along, be of service. I think that this is a really, really hard program. It's a really hard disease. I moved a year and a half ago, so I used to have all these meetings around me, and there's no OA meetings around me. I'm in Fairfax in Marin, just across the bay, and but there's an AA meeting every morning at 7 a.m. And so I've started going to that. I don't identify as an alcoholic. I don't drink right now, but I identify there as an addict. So I'm grateful to identify as a compulsive eater here. But sometimes I think, God, that's so easy. All they do is just stop this one substance, And with me, my disease, it shows up in food. So there's definitely certain foods I don't eat anymore. But it also shows up in eating, in portions, in how I eat. Sometimes, like if something's just in a, if it's a food, finger food, that can set me off. If it's in a certain shape, if it's in a certain format, if it's in a certain package, like it's, and so around the food, there's a lot of rigorous honesty I need, because if I'm tired, oh my God, that's one of my biggest triggers. Because then my assumption is that food's gonna give me energy. And it's such a fine balance for me, because I don't want to be so rigid that I'm then using all that shame and blame just to like be, eat a specific way that may or may not work for me. I'm also, I've had illnesses, I'm aging, my life changes. And so I have to have that awareness. And then also I have huge body image dysmorphia. My weight continues, I gained weight with the long COVID, and thankfully I'm starting to release that weight, or I have released a fair amount. But hard wiring that if I could just lose a few more pounds, everything's going to be okay, is a huge part of my disease. Anyway, this is, I could feel a little bloated one day and my pants are tight and just start this whole spiral about fat and worthless. I mean, so there's just, for me, program, this is a really complicated program. And what may work for you, what you eat, may be absolute alcoholic for me, and vice versa. So, that there's this ongoing kind of honesty and awareness, and I don't know. It's just, it's trudging a road of happy destiny. Like that's what it is. It's a long trudge, and I just got to just stay present and stay close to my higher power and stay close to you, because this is hard stuff. I've heard people who are in AA said that this is like for the ninja recovery. This is the one that's the hardest. And other people make fun of it because food seems so simple. And sometimes I'm like, are you serious? Like, really? That's my drug? Like, it's so stupid. So sometimes my disease can really make me disregard this. But this is big stuff. It's in my cells. And so I get to show up I get to choose my higher power. I get to choose sobriety today, and I get to keep trudging this road for the rest of my life, so I can stay present and deal with the great stuff and the hard stuff. And with that, I pass.